Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling from Wilsonville, Oregon. Today is Wednesday, February 27th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 11, paragraph 3, which starts with, "But my friend sat before me." We're going to study that single paragraph today, folks. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marissa E., the 12 Traditions, C.J. H., and reading the text today, John K., Robin P., and Kathy Jo P. The share ID number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 12593, 12,593. And then the meeting this morning that just happened, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 12595, 12,595, and that will be for Wednesday the 27th. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marissa E. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, my fellows. Good morning, Melanie. This is Marissa E., recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Marissa E. I will now ask CJH to read the 12 traditions.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, CJH. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting for the recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and please consider that this means star 1 on your phone keypad, not the personal mute on your own phone. Thank you so much for the technology consideration for recording. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 11 in Bill's story of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on paragraph 3. We're going to unpack one paragraph this morning, and that paragraph begins with, "But my friend sat before me." And I'll now ask John Kay to unmute, press star 1, and read that paragraph and describe his experience with that. Thanks so much, John.
Right. Thanks, Melanie. My name is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. "But my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he admitted complete defeat. Then he had, in fact, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known." Ditto. You know, over in my other program, whenever I celebrate a sobriety anniversary, I always say that I'm not surprised that I had the 30 plus whatever it is years of sobriety. I say I'm surprised I got one, because all that talk of God and higher power kept me at arm's length from the program, you know, because I've, you know, been able to solve all the other problems in my life with this great brain I was gifted with. There must be a way to solve this one, you know. And I was in this quandary, you know. I desperately needed what the program had to offer, but I wanted it on my terms. You know, I wanted a 12-step program without the God stuff, you know. By the way, so did Roseanne S., who started OA. Luckily, the early OA meetings brought in people from other programs who told her why that wouldn't work. But thank God I had the gift of desperation. You know, I was able to hear the person who said, "Hey, if you could have done this yourself, you'd have done it by now." And he was right. You know, but the tantalizing, the evil thing about my disease is it constantly convinces you that the right answer is just around the corner, you know. But my desperation, you know, drove me to hear what Bill will be hearing in a few paragraphs about, you know, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Actually, what really made it work for me was to hear, just stick around. You know, nobody's going to tell you you have to believe anything. Nobody's going to tell you what to believe. And for me, that made the difference, you know. You know, even though I didn't believe in God at the time, luckily, you know, God believed in me. And you know, to this day, that's really all that matters. You know, God truly did for me what I couldn't do for myself, you know. And looking back, you know, that was a miracle, knowing my brain and my thinking at that time. But I was that desperate. You know, I was broken mentally and physically. And that's what makes abstinence, I think, even harder than getting sober. You know, the food at most times doesn't push us to that, you know, that point of abject desperation like I had in the other program. It pushes us to the point of knowing we should do something about the problem, but not always to the point of being willing to go to any lengths, you know. You know, my high IQ got me nothing. In fact, it kept me from recovery for quite a while. And you know, it's funny, whenever I like lead a retreat, I tell people I'm no great font of wisdom. Everything I learned from looking backwards after the fact at the hundreds of wrong decisions I made before I made the right one, you know. And, you know, so pretty much anything I have to offer isn't from a great guru, but from someone who stepped on every landmine there was and pointed around and looked around and said, watch out for that one. It's a doozy. And I'll end on one thing that my friend Sheila J. said on Saturday. She said, welcome to OA. The battle's over. And you lost. You lost. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, John K. Now the lines are open for others to comment on paragraph 3, page 11 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill's story. If you'd like to share, press star 1. I'll take your name. Jackie H.
Elaine B.
I hear you. Elaine B.
Wendy M.
Did I hear Sherry and Wendy?
Carrie S. Yes. M.
Jackie H. I got to check.
Elaine B.
I wanted to make sure that it was it Carrie U that I heard instead of Sherry?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Carrie. And that's Carrie S. And somebody, was it Aaron D? Is that what I heard?
Yes.
Take one more, please. Kathy
C.
Gotcha, Kathy C. Thank you so much. Okay, this is what I have. I have Jackie H., Elaine B., Carrie S., Wendy M., Aaron D., and Kathy C. You're up first, Jackie H.
Oh, good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Great to be here today. My experience of this, as I read this this section, was, you know, I always did believe that there was a power greater than me. I did, and I even called that power God for a long time. Then life happened, and I had some wounds that were around the whole God thing, and so I went off in other little directions, but. In deep down inside, I always knew there was something, a power greater than myself. But the power that I was showing up with was not that power. The power that I continued to show up with was my ego. And, you know, I had this mistaken idea that I could spiritualize this ego that I had and make it look pretty, show up with this spiritualized ego, and you know what? That did not get me anywhere. It was pitiful. What it did is I ended up going to all kinds of substances, food, alcohol, all kinds of things, because I could not keep showing up like something that I didn't feel like I was, right? Because even though I looked good on the outside, inside I felt broken. I felt mean. I felt attacking sometimes. I felt like a victim. Everybody was out to get me. So even though I would try to show up, and of course it wasn't authentic, right? So it certainly didn't have any effect on the people that I was showing up with. And it wasn't until I just realized that there was this still small voice inside of me that was that innocence, that purity, that beauty that I am without all the clothing that I all the clothing, the character defenses that I had piled on me. And so now I get to take all, I get to ask that all those things get removed. I first of all did get to surrender, and I get to surrender probably several times a day. Let me tell you, there's lots of stuff showing up here in the last week or so for me that that is showing me the work I still need to do. And you know what? It's not real comfortable. It can be very painful to have all that stuff remove and find myself just like barren and naked. But I'm not naked. I get to show up now with when I am in spirit, when I really do surrender. Then I get to show up in my authenticity and in my beauty and in my majesty that comes from a power greater than myself and not me. Thank you. Not for my ego. Thank you for letting me share. Have a great day, all.
Thank you, Jackie H. Elaine B., you're up. Carrie will come in after you. Carrie S. will come in after you. Star 1, Elaine B.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Sorry about that. I'm just chatting away on the other. well, thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody here on the line, and mainly to a higher power that is able to take every single person on this line, actually every single person on the planet, to a level of life better than the best that they had ever known. In 1986, I thought I was going to achieve that. I was going to find that when I had a huge 8-hour battle with God and got up from that and walked away from drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and just a whole bunch of things that I wouldn't be alive right now. So I was raised from the dead at a level at that point. But as I began to pursue a relationship with a higher power that did for me what I couldn't do for myself then in 1986, I didn't find a design for living. I didn't find a way to learn that I'm in this world to not run the show. It's not all up to me. I don't have to run the show. I always thought I did. I always thought it was all up to me. And, time and again, mainly with the food, God brought me to a place where I had to admit I'm smashed down, powerless. You know, all my best efforts availed me nothing. I was walking around with 100 extra pounds on my body for decades, and there was nothing I could do about it. I was powerless. And so I gave in and I wore fat like a badge, until the time where I didn't want that to be the case anymore. I got engaged and didn't want to wear a size 24 or 26 wedding gown. And that gave me that little oomph that I needed to begin to walk into the doors of OA that I had mingled in before and really try to be serious about this. But after a blasted relapse, where my powerlessness made me want to pick up everything I ever put down, I had to reach out to a power greater than myself because I was heading for the grave. And, I grasped hold of what's at first seemed like a flimsy reed and has proved to be the most powerful hand of God. And that's when I learned this design for living that I never learned in my decades of relationship with a higher power that really works. It's an outline. It's a plan. And so if you have the gift of desperation, take advantage, take hold, even if it feels like a flimsy reed, because this design for living really works. And there's nobody who cannot have a life better than the best he had ever known. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. Carrie S., it's your turn, and then Wendy M. will come up after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Hello, my fellows. This is Carrie S., recovered in Golden, Colorado. I'm so grateful to be in the sunlight of the spirit today. And the shares on God really called to my heart to hear everybody's understanding. And yes, that still quiet voice inside me was so quiet in the food. And thank God for understanding this twofold illness that I can put the food down to get entirely quiet in my head, my obsessive thinking head, and overcome this need to pick up. So Ebby here, his human will had failed. Awesome. Great. That is what I need. I need to be beaten so badly by the food, so low that my human will is going to fail. That and Ebby, he admitted his complete defeat. Yes, step one, he is powerless. And that is where I had to come from, this place of utter destruction that now I seek God. I go to God
that is my default. That is where I am today. And this, I found the great reality. It is deep down within me, and it is in the last analysis. It is only there that my higher power can be found. And it is so, the book tells us, it is so with us. So I'm just so thankful that it's a daily surrender. It's this daily exploration. What is the voice in my head that is my twist? That's my mental twist, my mental obsession telling me I'm not good enough. I didn't do it right. I need to be sneaky and save my skin. But today I get to turn to God and have my conception evolve and grow. And it's this idea is so, it's so much in my heart. And I just am so thankful to be able to be on this path with each of you. If you're struggling, just know I had to listen to your voices, your stories over and over and over to reprogram my mind. And thank God I did. Thanks, Mel. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Curious. Wendy M., you're up now. And then Aaron will come in after you.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Mel, thanks for your service and everyone on the line. Just so grateful to be with all of you this morning. You know, and the words, thank God I can't do this by myself. Thank God I cannot do this by myself. And, you know, my story is that within a few days, the food was down, the surrender happened with the food, and it's been pretty quiet, and I've definitely been grateful for that, for sure. So if you are struggling with the food, I'm happy to take a phone call, happy to help. But what happens is, you know, that goes down, right? The food's down, and then the other addictions come up. And for me, it would be love addiction, relationship addiction. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, it's just, the food is just the beginning. And, you know, for the last several months, I've just been scrambling, you know, like, I'll listen to a guru, I'll take a class, I'll do yoga 10 times a week, I'll make outreach calls. Like, I'll do all of these things because I think I can fix this, you know. And the problem is that my mind is in charge, right? And what my mind thinks, it feels right, it feels true. And it turns out that, you know, a sick mind can't heal a sick mind, that I really do need to make the admission that I am sick and I need help, you know. And you know, Bill says you must get pretty badly mangled, right? So thank God, you know, the last couple of days have been absolute torture. It's been absolute pain. And you know, what that pain is going to do is, yeah, I have two choices. I can continue with more pain, or I can go to God, or I can go to the solution. And yesterday it was step one. I admitted I have a problem. I admit that I am an addict in other areas, not just the food. And that admission yesterday brought me to my knees, and it brought me to God. And it was the biggest relief. God's like clapping in the background going, yay, because I got to the honesty piece. I got to the admission piece. You know, I didn't want to admit that. I wanted to run the show and figure this out on myself. Why? Because I don't want to trust God. Are you kidding? Like, trust something I can't see or measure? Are you kidding? But the most amazing thing is the pain got great enough that I was willing to say, no more, you know. Thank you, God, for the pain, because it calls me out. God wants my attention on this one. God wants me to heal in this area so deeply, so desperately. And I have to tell you, the minute I got on my knees, the minute I went to, I am an addict in other areas, God's got me. It's in that moment that I'm willing to say, I've got this, and I'm tired, sick and tired of the pain, and I'm ready to release it. I am ready to say, help me. You know, it's a revolutionary sentence to say, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. I don't know, because I is the problem. I have been trying to fix myself, right? So getting I out of the way and saying, God, help me, is the action. God is the verb. God is an action. Admitting that truth is a relief, and I thank you all so much for being in this program. All right, much love. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy M. Aaron D., you're up. And then Kathy C. will follow you.
Hi, this is Aaron D. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Yes, this paragraph in Bill's story is a great paragraph because it shows a couple of things. First of all, it shows it shows that Bill was kind of getting at some level what Abby was doing. And of course, those of us who have worked the 12 steps and are sponsoring know that Abby was carrying the message, you know. And of course, and at that time, the spiritual principles had not been as clearly defined as they are now. But he was working, really working his step 12, you know, acknowledging that he needed to carry the message to his friend Bill, who was sick, you know. And really, he was kind of introducing Bill, challenging Bill to work step one, you know, which our previous caller mentioned. If you go to chapter 4 in the agnostics, page 45, you know, it says lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. It had to be a power greater than themselves. And how were we to find this power? And it's, of course, it goes on to say, well, that's exactly what this book is about. The main object is to enable you to find the power greater than yourselves. That means that we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. This is good news for all of us in recovery, not just alcoholics, you know, because here in the big book, we have the instructions given to us by the founders of AA, the original 12-step document. If we are as desperate and beyond human aid as Bill W. was when his friend Abby approached him, we've got what we need right here. And of course, the big book helps us to see, if we study it, that God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's a higher power. Can take care of us in a way that human aid cannot. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Aaron D. Before we move on to Kathy C's share, I'd like to let you know, folks, that we are in the big book on page 11. Bill's story, taken apart, paragraph 3 today, which starts with, "But my friend sat before me," if you want to get prepared to share on that, because after Kathy C, we're going to open up the lines for a few more. Kathy C, it is your turn. Thank you so much for waiting.
Thank you. Kathy C, compulsive reader in Los Angeles. I love this chapter, this paragraph as well. The sentence about God doing for Abby what he couldn't do for himself, I relate to very much. Before really surrendering and Overeaters Anonymous and getting a sponsor and working the 12 steps, I did not think that it was possible for the obsession to compulsively eat to be removed. And I didn't understand that I was limiting, my God as I understand God. And that's been a continuous lesson for me, because God has removed many obsessions and character defects for me that I was not able to remove. But as I continue down this path of recovery, I continually am working with sponsors to uncover, discover, and discard. And even yesterday, doing some work on amends, I saw that I still am holding on to my isolation from my fellows. And the one tool that I have really been reluctant to pick up is making outreach calls. I will receive them and I'll text, but even after 2.5 years of abstinence and 6+ years of recovery, in another program, I really have wanted to keep, the way my sponsor said it is, I want to be king of my castle and just keep people out and do it all, live life by myself because that feels safer. And again, I was reminded that I can't connect to other people, but God can. And I need to bring God with me on every single outreach call. And at the beginning of the conversation, I was not willing to do 3 outreach follow the day. And then because I really don't want any of my character defects between me and God, and I certainly don't want to relapse, by the end of the conversation, I knew I was going to make 3 outreach calls. And I did. I did them on the way home, and it was fine. And I just love this idea of continually allowing my higher power more access to my life, which means that I truly do believe that God is infinite and beyond my understanding and can handle all areas of my life. It's very, very, very freeing. And God is so good and so great at the details in my life. I really can let everything go. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kathy C. The lines are open now for a few more shares. If you're interested in sharing on the paragraph we read today, paragraph 3 on page 11 of the big book, we'd love to take your name.
Mary K.
I have Mary. And I have Mo.
Cindy D.
Sharon.
Cindy
D. Rachel P.
Polly B.
Polly, is that what I heard? Polly B?
Polly B.
Great, thanks. Okay.
Betsy K.
I might be able to take one. Betsy?
Betsy
okay.
K.
That might be it for it. Mm-hmm. That might be all that we have today. We'll take a peek and see it later. So I have Marin K, Mo H, Cindy D, Rachel P, Polly B, and Betsy K. Hi, Marin.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for sharing the meeting. And thank you for going over the big book. It's like my Bible. You know, this is such a great paragraph as I'm looking at it. I was told that I was incurable when I was 20. I'm now 59. When I started my eating disorder, I was locked up and committed in a hospital in Florida. They did not have the kind of 12-step. Well, people from 12-step came to see me, but I was unwilling. I was told I would never live outside a hospital because of my eating disorder. And I have been out of the hospital for many, many years. It was when I met with my sponsor for the first time. Let's see, I'm 24 years, almost 31 years in the program. I met with my sponsor, and she read this book with me. And when she spoke of God, I found my higher power by meeting with my sponsor and reading the big book with her. That is how I got, like, the first inclination that there was a higher power. And my experience with this paragraph is I'm in 3 different programs, and I have many addictions. But I will say that I was a 60-pound anorexic, 10 times a day bulimic, and a very hardcore compulsive overeater. And God has removed all of that from me. I still have other addictions, and I'm grateful that we're reading this paragraph because I know now that from reading this, God can remove anything. If he can remove some of the other things that he did, he can remove these other addictions that are plaguing me, these character defects. And I'm going to start working on this with my sponsor because I have taken on different things over the years that have been kind of ruining my abstinence. So thank you so much for this meeting and everybody who shared on the meeting. And thank you. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marin K. Mo H., you're up, and then Cindy will follow you.
Hey, good morning, Mel. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater in Walnut Creek, California. Grateful to be here, and welcome to all of those on the line and any newcomers. But my friend sat before me. We know that Ebby sat before him starry-eyed. And I'll tell you, when I see a sponsee, getting this, I see the bright lights in their eyes, or if I don't see them, I hear it in their voice on the phone, and it's just an exhilarating feeling. And he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. Human will had failed. My will had failed for 25 years. I tried it every which way. I tried working the program as directed, as I was told, all of these things, but down here what it says, he had admitted complete defeat. That means total abstinence. I have to surrender and give up all those foods that I like, that I thought I liked, and give in and I bury them, have a burial ceremony for those foods, which today I no longer crave. I have neutrality around the food, which when I first heard that, I thought that's impossible. But no, I do today, and I am grateful. And when I found my Ebby, I felt like I was raised from the dead, that I went from binging on sugar, anything sugary, floury, with fat in it, to total abstinence the next day. How does that happen? That is not of me. That is God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And there is a promise here that he had a level of life better than the best he had ever known. And I'll tell you, after this last 6 months of, you know, chronic pain and surgery and recovering and all of that, I know a life today better than I had ever known. Why? Because I remained abstinent through all of that. I was not going to give in to the food for that pain. And so today I am waking up and I feel ready to go and ready to hit the road. And I'm so grateful for this phone meeting because it kept me alive while I was flat on my back. And grateful for all of you. And thank you with that. I'll pass. Thank you, Melanie.
You're welcome, OH. Cindy D., you're up. Rachel coming after you. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered for today in Texas. Thank you, God. You know, what jumped out at me was the word incurable and complete defeat. I remember feeling exactly that way, you know, incurable, that I had been defeated, utterly hopeless. Yet I had, in some ways, just accepted that as my lot in life. You know, I had taken myself through multiple surgeries, 5 weeks in the hospital, recovering from a life-threatening emergency surgery, all from this disease and all from my crazy thinking. And, you know, it wasn't until my husband decided to get sober that I got a little bit of desperation and thought, you know, I need to help him, so I better get to a program myself. And after starting in another program, I really said, you know what, I got to deal with my food first. And luckily, I met someone at my very first OA meeting that turned me on to vision. And when I called in and I heard people talking and saying recovered, and I heard them talking about the spiritual awakening and, you know, saying that they were living a life that was far better than anything they'd had before, I started to get that desperation and I wanted what they had. And so I got a sponsor and started working the steps, and my desperation built as I worked the first three steps. And, you know, I still was skeptical about God, but I really wanted to have God in my life because I came to believe truly that there was nothing else that was going to help me. And, you know, I still don't do it perfect. I find I can still apply some of my old thinking, even to my relationship with God, thinking, you know, it's not good enough, it's not strong enough, I need to understand. You know, my sponsor said to me the other day, you know, you just have this desire to want to understand everything, and, you know, trying to just accept and be willing to live in God's direction and trust the process and trust Him is something I work at hard every day. I don't do this program perfect at all, but it is, my life is so much better than what it was before. You know, I live in joy and peace and serenity most days. And I love the fellowship. I used to, you know, isolate constantly, and now I love talking with others. And as one of my fellows shared a little bit ago, you know, that feeling you get when you hear one of your sponsees get it, and you can hear the excitement they have about the progress they're feeling and the peace they're gaining, that's the most wonderful feeling. And it's like it says in the foreword to the first edition, you know, this is an avocation for me. It's a passion in my life now to share this message. I feel so grateful and so lucky that God got me here and that God keeps me here. Thank you for letting me share, Melanie. I will pass with that.
Thank you, Cindy D. Rachel P., it's your turn. Then Polly B. will come after you.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovering compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. As we're reading this paragraph, I'm thinking about the friends and the people who stopped before me who got me into OA. It was the first person was my dad, who had horribly verbally and emotionally abused me as a kid. He was a meth addict and an alcoholic. But he hit his bottom and he found AA and NA. And he told me about it when I was 18 years old, and he made amends with me. And that was the first one who sat before me and shared with me. He was truly about to be locked up at that time, and he was desperate, and he found a solution. And then it was the two women who were at the very first OA meeting that I went to in my early 20s, about 7 or so years ago, who, you know, while not recovered, shared their hope with me. And while I couldn't hear it, you know, I heard the word God, and I was an atheist at the time, and I immediately turned away. They sat before me, and they shared that they could no longer live in self-will, and they shared their hope. And then about a year and a half ago, it was my ex-boyfriend who is 16 years sober in AA, who hit his bottom at 13 years old, and was forced into treatment and became recovered. And he encouraged me to go to Al-Anon when my dad started drinking again. And Al-Anon really helped me to want to come back to OA, to be somewhat willing for a spiritual solution, although I wasn't quite there yet. So, you know, those are three people who sat before me and shared how they had struggled with desperation and how they came into the rooms. And then finally, about 10 months ago, it was my therapist who I came to when I finally was ready to ask for help for my compulsive overeating. And I had no idea when I came to meet her, but she is a recovered compulsive overeater herself, and she has been in OA for more than 30 years. And when she told me I was going to OA, I said yes immediately. It was a given because I was ready. I was at step one. And I'm just so, so grateful for the people who sat before me and shared their experience, strength, and hope in their recovery journeys. And I'm just so grateful that I get to do the same for other people who come into the rooms and who are ready and who, you know, when I talk to them, I might not even know that they have an issue with compulsive overeating, but I can share my story, my experience, strength, and hope. And I'm just so grateful for this program. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. Hi, Polly B. It's your
turn.
Jess is going to come in after you. Hi there.
Thank you for your service and for everyone who makes this possible. This is Polly B. Grateful to be living today in recovery. And I remember that I first started living as if I was waiting to die when I was 11, when I realized I was powerless over circumstances and people, particularly people who were dying close to me. And that's probably my first realization of feeling empty, that I had no one, no power greater than myself, and least of all myself, upon whom I could rely. And that emptiness is what fueled my desperation, not the way I looked, not the addictions, not the food I put in my mouth. It was this deep, dark, black hole, a spiritual malady. And I'm so grateful that for the past 14 months, I have known firsthand that there is a power greater than myself, and that power is not me, and that power has me in her or his viewfinder every single day, every minute, whether or not I'm conscious of it. And it is a miracle to have this connection. And that was at about age 61, and now a year or so later, it's not perfect, that connection, but it works. It works because I am working the program and I have so many partners and guides who are recovered, who have dealt with relapse, who have dealt with calamities worse than mine, in fact, and they too are recovered and live a recovered life. So for anyone new on the line, it is possible. It is absolutely possible. One can be as desperate as Bill or Abby or me and still recover. And I'm very grateful for that. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Polly B. Betsy K., it's your turn. Hi.
Hi, this is Betsy K., recovered bulimic compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I have had many Ebbies over the years in 12-step programs. And I've learned something new and different from each of them. What I have found is that, you know, you hear the same things repeated over and over, but at different times in my recovery, I was open enough in my heart and my mind and spiritually to take it in. I didn't take everything in right away, but I took what I needed, you know, piece by piece. And that is, you know, why I keep coming back and why I have to be available to give it away. Is because it just you just keep getting different layers of awareness. So for me, I think, you know, initially when you're desperate, you're very teachable to learn the core principle, how to put down the food, how to stop destroying yourself. And then there's all these other layers. So I have to keep being open, keep being honest, keep being teachable. And in doing so, I continue to grow. And I feel like that is what God requires of me. Because putting down the food, putting down the behavior, just gets me to the starting gate. And then after that, there's just all these different levels that, you know, through working the steps and just through living life without you know, massive addictions, you know, that I learned. I'm learning this, I'm learning that. It's like people without addictions also go through struggles and grow, you know. It's just that for me, with an addiction, I get uncomfortable, and if I'm in my addiction, I fall back. So, you know, I'm living life imperfectly a day at a time, and this paragraph just teaches, reminds me that I have to remain teachable all moments. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Betsy. We have time for a 2-minute share. Would anyone like to take that one before we close out?
Hello, Melanie.
Hello. All right, Raquel, you want to?
Yes, thank you. Oh, so good to hear your voices. I had quite a day. I love this this piece because it puts it the way it is. The truth, the real deep truth is that until you come to that point where you're willing to admit that there is no, absolutely no human power that can help here, and then take that leap of faith. And I have this wonderful picture that came my way where there's this little guy, this little fellow trying to jump over a deep abyss to, is that how you pronounce it? Like a deep place towards somebody much bigger who is holding his arms out to catch him. Just like it says in that that piece in the one of the introductions that we... some of us came very close, but only logic brought us that close. But the real leap of faith somehow evaded some of us. And when I think of Abby, of Bill's Abby, how he went back into that underworld of drinking and all, it's a mystery. It's God's grace. And I'm grateful for all the moments, flashes of the deep, flash here and there of the deep faith that everything is okay under God's heaven. I don't have it sitting with me regularly, like I could take it, something I can take out of my pocket and say, this is my faith and belief, the way that they say that Dr. Jung Yes, I wrap up. Dr. Jung said when they asked him, so you really believe in God? He said, no, I don't. Do you believe there is a God? He said, no, I don't. I know that there is a God. I can't say that yet, being Bible teacher and all. But I do trust that you have it. And I'm just following. I'm following you guys. And with 10 years, 2 months, and 10 days of clean abstinence, I'm still full of hope that someday that tremendous peace will come and be mine. Thank you so much for your collaboration. I pass.
Appreciate that. That takes us to the close of our meeting today. Thank you to everyone that shared so much. Today, the messages were filled with prompts out of ashes. It was just very touching today. We are going to continue after the recording's finished with greeting newcomers and getting sponsors and having announcements. So please stay with us until the top of the hour. But meantime, we will now close this portion with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and we'll follow that with a Serenity Prayer. Robin P., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mel, for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,